Good morning. It's really great to be sharing the last I am statement with you this morning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. We celebrate that this morning, but we also celebrate Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church in a very real way. So I'm going to hold those two thoughts in balance this morning. The resurrection and the life is best understood against the backdrop of death. I hope that if I start my sermon by talking about death, it doesn't kill my sermon. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. But as we talk about death this morning, it's something that we don't like to talk about really. We avoid the topic of death. And it's understandable. Death is a painful place to go. It's a place that stirs up many different emotions, and often we're not sure how to deal with this place we find ourselves in from time to time, the place of thinking about death or being confronted by death. You know, we're all confronted by death in different places in our lives, and eventually we'll be confronted by our own death. Somebody said that there are only two things that are certain: death and taxes. I don't know much about taxes, so I'm going to stick to speaking about death and Jesus, who said, I'm the resurrection and the life. This scripture that we're speaking about this morning, I'm the resurrection and the life, this comes at the time when Mary and Martha are speaking to Jesus about their brother Lazarus, who had died. He dies, and they send word to Jesus that he should come because the person he loves is dying, and he waits. For some unknown reason, Jesus waits 2 days before he sets out. And when he eventually arrives where Mary and Martha are, Lazarus has already been dead. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. We're not sure why he waited. But it is at this point that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And he poses the question, do you believe this? Martha is the one who responds, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So these words of Jesus, I am the resurrection and life, have been words that have stood by people as they have been faced with death. They're words that we often share at funerals. And they were the words that speak powerfully about what Jesus Christ does with death. You know, as we look at the resurrection and the life, death in the presence of Jesus is no longer death. Death in the hands of Jesus is robbed of all of its terror. We may see death again as we've always seen death, but in the light of Jesus, it is no longer death as we think of it. For in the presence of life, death can no longer be death. Jesus gave his life for those who believe in him. It was the 13th of September 2011. A family was asleep at home. At 4 a.m. in the morning, the pet rabbit started to scratch on the lady who was asleep, the mother of the home. The rabbit was scratching on her chest. She woke up and was quite surprised that this had happened. It never happened before. And as she started to come out of her sleep, she realized that the room was full of smoke. She quickly rushed out of the room to her daughter's bedroom, grabbed her daughter, and they both fled out of the house. The rabbit alerted them to the fire at 4 a.m. By 4:13, the fire brigade had arrived. They saw flames coming up from the basement and thick clouds of black smoke. They quickly controlled the fire, and the house was not completely burnt down. The mother and the daughter were saved because of the rabbit. But the hero of the story, the rabbit, unfortunately had inhaled too much smoke and did not make it. The rabbit sacrificed its life for the mother and the daughter. He warned them of the fact that death was close and saved their lives. Now, Jesus Christ does the same thing for us. He warns us that spiritual death is close. And not only does he warn us, but he makes a way that we can have life and life everlasting. He is the resurrection and the life. In John 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish council. And they're having this discussion about Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to him that, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. This is quite a radical statement. It's not something that Nicodemus has heard before, and it's quite confusing, I believe, for him at this point. And he says, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born? Jesus explains that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and of spirit. When Martin Luther died, they found an inscription in his Bible, in the place in Revelation where it speaks about the second death. They found this inscription: born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And what he was trying to tell us is that if we are born once, we're all born once, we're born of the flesh. Then if our spirits are never born again, we die twice. We die physically, our bodies die, and our spirits die. But if we are born twice, once we are born of the flesh, and then at some point in our lives we are born of the spirit, reborn, then we only experience one death, the death of our physical body. Our spirits live, even though our bodies die, and they live with Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one who called himself the resurrection and the life. And if we trust in him and we are born again, then we experience everlasting life. In Romans 6, verse 23, we read this: for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ gives us life. Interestingly enough, in John 5, verse 21, we read this: for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. So here we read that God, the Father, gives life. So Jesus Christ gives life, and the Father also gives life. In John 6, verse 63, we read this: it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. The Spirit gives life. So we've got Jesus Christ who gives life, we've got God the Father who gives life, and we've got God the Holy Spirit who gives life. We have life in Almighty God, who is manifest in different ways as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it is Almighty God who gives life. As we realize that Jesus gives life, and we realize that God the Father gives life, and we realize that the Holy Spirit gives life, let's go to that moment of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit is poured out. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. And here he's poured out and he gives new life to those people who are waiting in the upper room. They go out after they have experienced the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire. They speak in other languages. People around them are amazed. There are many people that come to know Christ on that day because of this miraculous move of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives life, and he gives them new life. And from that moment onwards, the church is born. The church is brought to life. The Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he is the Spirit of God. He is the Comforter or the Paraclete. He is the Spirit of truth, and he is the Spirit of Christ. You know that the Holy Spirit appears more than 90 times in the New Testament. And Pentecost wasn't the first time that the Holy Spirit appeared. The Holy Spirit intercedes. He is the advocate. The Holy Spirit brings people to salvation. He is the one who is the inspiration and the interpretation of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus Christ. He is the one who imparts spiritual gifts to all believers, and we are blessed with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in our churches, and in our church particularly, we sing a lot of songs about the Holy Spirit. I went to Song Select, which is program, a website that we use for all of the song words that we use in church. And I found that there are 2,327 songs with the theme Holy Spirit. Some of the titles that you might remember or think of are Spirit Move, Breathe on Us, Spirit Breakout, Spirit Fall, and Welcome in This Place. So we find a lot of songs about the Holy Spirit, and many of these songs speak about the Holy Spirit coming or the Holy Spirit moving. We don't have many songs that simply speak about worshiping the Holy Spirit. We have got songs that speak about worshiping God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we have songs like that that speak about worshiping the Holy Spirit. But very few songs are simply written about worshiping the Holy Spirit. Many more speak about calling on the Holy Spirit to come or asking the Holy Spirit to move. And you know, as I thought about this, I thought that that might be a place to go to this morning. Do people want more because they have little of the Holy Spirit? Or do they want the Holy Spirit to come because they have never experienced the Holy Spirit? Another question that I've been thinking about is singing and asking the Holy Spirit to come and to move the best way to get the Spirit to come and to move? Maybe put another way, I should ask, how can we experience the Holy Spirit more in our lives? How can we experience the Holy Spirit more in our lives? We sing about the Holy Spirit and we say, come Holy Spirit, move Holy Spirit. I believe there's a real desire, a real hunger for us to experience the Holy Spirit more. I think that's what people want. So who has the Holy Spirit? This is a question that many wrestle with. I believe that the moment that we say to Jesus Christ, come and live in our lives, that's when the Holy Spirit lives in our lives as well. We don't need a separate event to get the Holy Spirit to do something special. There are places where we say, come Holy Spirit in power, come and move afresh in my life. But initially, we all start off with the Holy Spirit in our lives. He brings us to the place of salvation. He creates the desire within our hearts that we should be saved. And then when we are saved, when we say, Jesus, come and take control in my life, take away the sin, live in me, the Holy Spirit dwells within us at that moment. How do we have more of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How does the Holy Spirit live and move and come more in our lives? Well, I want to share an illustration that I was thinking about. We have many radio stations that we can tune into. But if we don't ever switch on the radio, or if we don't ever tune the radio to the radio station that we want to hear, we never hear that radio station. All around us, there are radio waves all the time, carrying radio messages, carrying songs, carrying talks, carrying news, carrying weather. Those radio waves are around us. I don't have a radio switched on right now, so I don't hear them. But if I wanted to, I could turn on a radio and tune it in to the station that I want, and I would hear those messages. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit, I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit is always with us. He's always close to us. He doesn't leave us. But I think there are times when we need to retune, when we need to tune on or turn on the radio of our spiritual lives. We need to say, Lord, I want to hear you again. I want to follow you, Holy Spirit, more closely. And we need to say, how do I dial in more to the Holy Spirit? So that's what I want to encourage you with today, is to tune in more. So how do we do this? How do we tune in more? Well, the one thing that we read about the apostles as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit is that they were in the upper room and they were waiting. I think that's what we need to do more of. We need to wait for the Holy Spirit and tell the Holy Spirit, we're waiting for you. You know, waiting doesn't happen at 120 kilometers an hour in rush hour traffic. Waiting happens as we sit quietly and listen. Waiting happens as we think about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about God, about His Word, about His salvation, about His gifts, about His promises. That is where the Holy Spirit starts to work in us. We need to read more of His Word. I've been encouraging you over this time, read larger chunks of the Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates the Scripture. He brings it alive. He helps us to interpret the Scriptures. That's what He does. If we never read the Scriptures, He can never do that for us. And so that's an encouragement for you, is get into the Word so that the Holy Spirit will be more active in your life. We need to be praying more. We need to be praying more and waiting during our times of prayer, not just praying a long list of stuff and then signing off with amen, but praying and listening and waiting. You know, as we listen, God has a chance to speak to us. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What an incredible gift that is. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on all believers. He's alive and active. We just need to tune in to him again. I want to end with two scriptures this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 55. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And finally, Romans 15, verse 13, a blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us many awesome, incredible things in your word. That as we go to your word, we are built up, we are enriched, we are filled. We grow in our Christian lives, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of having the word of God that we can go to, that can lead and guide us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're alive and active, that you were then in a very powerful way, and that you still are today. Holy Spirit, keep working in our lives, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, move in power in our lives. Help us as we tune into you. Help us to hear your voice. Help us as we go to your word, that your word would be made alive in our lives. Help us, Lord, as we go and pray, as we sit and wait and listen. Speak to us very clearly, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come in your power. Bless us now in your mighty name. Amen. We're going to go now to our closing song.